second ago. So welcome to it. It's a good day for Fox News. You know why?
Why?
Because they're going to go 24/7 with race riots. Race riots in Los Angeles because a couple people broke windows.
In Oakland, too.
Right. Okay. All right. You know why I say that?
Why?
Because I'm a race traitor, as we learned yesterday.
Right.
Because I think George Zimmerman is guilty.
Sussed out our liberal progressive plan to make brown people angry so we can subdue them.
Right, exactly.
Or something.
Because we are racist.
If you're on control, the troll calls us FTC. Just put your strap on, get called by the FCC. Race traders have been attacked on the show all day. When will we learn that you stay with your harmless day? Race traitor.
Maybe.
We're not too bad for you. Race traitor,
maybe.
It's amazing what they'll do. Race traitor,
maybe.
Who races after you? Race traitor,
maybe.
If you get to you,
wow, Rebecca says cartoon channel on the line for me already. That's a kid show if ever I've seen one.
Wow.
Jim can do all the voices?
Sure.
There we go.
It's Race Traitor, everybody. All right, 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Charlie Pierce, Esquire.com, who is mad as we were about the Zimmerman verdict.
I dare say himself a bit.
I dare say he's not going to take it anymore.
No, exactly my point. All right. So anyway, lots to get to with that. Oh, did you see this? After his acquittal on murder charges for fatally shooting Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman may go to law school to help people wrongly accused of crimes like himself.
Oh, my God.
He'll be representing people like him that shot an unarmed person or somehow
in the
crazy
chest,
people think that somehow that's murder when you stalk and shoot an unarmed kid. Yeah, that's crazy. So he'll be helping other people, other victims like him.
Wink, wink. Other victims.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, wink, nudgy. By the way, are his attorneys getting to be bigger and bigger douche nozzles than they previously were?
Yes.
Christopher Darden wrote a great piece, but he had the same reaction I did to that press conference. Really? You're going to spike the football?
Mm-hmm.
When you have a dead kid and parents still grieving? It was just...
disgusting.
Oh, my God.
I was barred for that.
And then I got re-mad. Have you ever gotten re-mad when they kept playing the clip of, what's his name, O'Meara, during the trial, saying, literally said, Trayvon Martin caused his own death.
Yeah.
No!
By walking
home. Why I oughta.
Yeah.
All right. So I think Jackie was saying at the top of the hour, Attorney General Eric Holder, speaking today at the NAACP, he said Monday the killing of Trayvon Martin was a tragic, unnecessary shooting, and the 17-year-old's death provides an opportunity for the nation to speak honestly about complicated and emotionally charged issues. So on Sunday, the Justice Department said it is reviewing evidence of the case to determine whether criminal or civil rights charges are warranted. The Justice Department, you remember, had opened an investigation but wanted to wait till the criminal trial finished. Holder said, we are mindful of the pain felt by our nation surrounding the tragic, unnecessary shooting death of Trayvon Martin in Sanford, Florida last year. I want to assure you the Justice Department will continue to act in a manner that is consistent with the facts and the law. I've heard some legal experts already say this is going to be a tough... in fact, Charlie Pierce writes about that this week, too, that this would be a tough... And I feel like they really are in a no-win situation. And he said in a way that, let's say, Janet Reno and Bill Clinton wouldn't have been, because, what could it be? Oh, I know, they're both black. President Obama and Eric Holder, so it's going to seem like... the White House, of course, had to say President Obama will not involve himself in the Justice Department decision on whether to pursue civil rights charges against Zimmerman. But... if you're going to go to what the Attorney General said and have an honest conversation of race, give me a break. This was all about race. There's no reasonable person that can think this would have turned out differently.
Fox News doesn't think it's about race.
If this had been a white kid.
Fox News does not think it's
about race. He wouldn't have followed him if it was a white kid.
You and I know that. But there's a big chunk of people out there that do not believe it's about race.
Really?
Yes.
Really? By the way, I saw Ben Jealous on TV yesterday, and he said there is a lot more evidence that never even made it into trial about other people that knew George Zimmerman talking about his racism, and that he absolutely talked about.
You'd think that would have been relevant.
Right.
But no, it's not about race.
Right. I believe other black kids in the area that were talking about feeling targeted by him and yada yada. This was not some sort of complete mishap. Chris Darden wrote a great piece, the obviously former OJ prosecutor. He said there may be justice yet for Trayvon. And he quotes Melissa Harris Perry, who I think has been great on this because, you know, she was talking about, I think there, that's one thing we heard on the phones a lot yesterday. There is just a different reality for black parents and white parents. You know, black parents instinctively understand a lot about this stuff. I think he talks about, somebody wrote a piece about the black code, just what black, you know, young men instinctively know. In terms of ways they must behave and yada yada and to be careful and what black parents have to tell their children. And that's
and the clothing that, black parents have to tell their children to wear and to not call attention to yourself.
The struggle continues. Our work isn't over, were the words of Melissa Harris Perry an hour after the not guilty verdict. Darden writes, I agree. Work within the African-American community, work within the criminal justice system, work on a national level to further the debate over racial profiling, civil rights, and stand your ground laws must continue. The power of racial profiling and the power of the gun lobby is a lethal combination in America. And that's what a lot of people are talking about. There's going to be more Trayvons and more George Zimmermans. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is, to me, that was the danger of it. It's like open season for racist vigilantes if you live in the right state with the right laws. And we'll talk about that later, too. This juror came out, is going to write a book and said they basically, they couldn't have come to any other verdict with the, you know, jury instructions they were given and the laws in the state. And, that, you know, that may be true. And then that there's something really wrong with that. Because we were saying yesterday,
having a jury.
Right. It allows you to basically kill your only witness and go, well, here's the one side of the story. Here's the other one. Oh, he's dead. I guess there is no other side.
Oh, well. And you can't talk about that or that or that or that or that. That maybe, but not that. Or
right.
That. So.
Well, I mean, interesting, too, as a lawyer, Darden says, as a former prosecutor, I never would have brought the Zimmerman case to court. There was a high burden of proof giving way to reasonable doubt. And that said, as an African-American, I know it was a victory just putting Zimmerman on trial. No doubt there will be a civil suit. This is what I've been saying. He said, no doubt there will be a civil suit and Zimmerman will have to testify. The outcome may echo O.J. Simpson's civil trial in which he was forced to testify and was found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I keep talking about, because there's so many outright lies, inconsistencies in his testimony. And anyway, Darden echoes a lot of stuff that came up for us yesterday with callers and whatever. African-Americans felt justified supporting O.J. as payback for all the profound injustices we've suffered at the hands of the criminal justice system. And we were talking about in L.A. because it came right on the heels of Rodney King trial, them getting acquitted. And I think, anyway, but he says O.J. Simpson was the wrong poster child for that righteous campaign. He was no hero framed by the police. He was a cold-blooded killer, guilty of a gruesome double murder. And he just, you know, he puts the racial thing in some context. He says the election of Barack Obama pulled us up from the bleak hole created by the Simpson trial and unified many black and white people to believe and hope again together. I do not see the same divide with the Zimmerman verdict. I guess that's some good news, but the details of the case illustrate a real divide in racial experience. Would Zimmerman have followed a white teenager? I think we all could say no.
No.
Would he have thought that boy suspicious or a threat? And then he goes on to say, racial disparity in killings that are found justifiable demonstrates that black life is not as valued as white life in this country. That is our reality. The televised Simpson trial became a trial about race, celebrity, and wealth when it should have been about domestic violence and murder. The televised Zimmerman trial became a trial about demonizing Trayvon Martin, creating black boogeymen who could legitimize racial profiling and vigilante murder. And that's, you know, and as you alluded already, Chris, you know, ginned up and helped along by the Fox Newses and the Rush Limbaughs of the world. And then he said the same thing I did. At the press conference after the verdict, Zimmerman's defense team was deplorable. Those lawyers felt the need to spike the football with no regard for the death of Trayvon or the grief of the Martin family. I mean, even in the courtroom for him to have said Trayvon Martin caused his own death. Really? By running away from an armed guy? Armed
while
with Skittles.
Black.
Right. Anyway, Darden finishes by saying the Zimmerman case was a race case. Zimmerman would not have followed Trayvon Martin if he were not black. The media did not make this case a race case. The family of Trayvon Martin did not make this a race case. George Zimmerman did. Anyway, and then he said the same thing I've heard a lot of black parents say. When I look at my son, a 15-year-old, 5'11", 145-pound black male, I'm now compelled to take note of how very much he looks like Trayvon. I'm glad it was not my son who ran out for iced tea and a bag of Skittles and ended up dead. In my son and in all the black boys in this color-struck nation, I see thousands upon thousands of Trayvons. In many ways, we're all Trayvon. That's the thing, is you think, like, what if there had not been even this, like, this stupid gun debate, if you didn't have the Sean Hannitys of the world as, you know, championing you, what kind of justice would he have gotten? You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, is he became the poster boy for it. And really, that's your hero? I mean, whether you're a gun rights person or whatever, that's your hero, that guy. that shot an unarmed kid, you know, some wannabe cop. I think I'm even more disgusted than I was yesterday.
It sounds like it.
I thought
you had a chance to digest all this, and now
and
you're getting indigestion.
Worse. Now it's only gotten worse. Exactly. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Fight the power! Fight the power! Fight the power! We've got to fight the power! Let's be.
Oh, I see. We're going with my whole Race Trader music catalog this morning?
We are.
Awesome. 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Eric Holder, Attorney General.
We are resolved, as you are, to combat violence involving or directed at young people, to prevent future tragedies, and to deal with the underlying attitudes, mistaken beliefs, and stereotypes. Justice must be done.
So let me get this straight. I'm both the man this morning and the man that is keeping me down.
Yes.
Right.
And you're the woman.
Thank you. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Mary in Sacramento. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Stephanie. Can I be your official race trader from Sacramento? White woman race trader?
Please. Thank you.
Okay. So last night on Twitter, it started blowing up about the juror B37. She's
right.
On Anderson Cooper.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. And, oh boy, it's like, they're talking on, this, what is it, Think Progress is all the seven things that, you know, I'm so nervous right
That's
now.
That's okay, that's all right.
Okay, you know, it sounded like she disregarded the judge's information about not using Stand Your Ground. They weren't supposed to be using it. It was like self-defense.
Right.
They started using that. It's just how she was calling him Georgie. Her husband's a lawyer. It's like how she was. They were going to write a book like 2 days after the verdict.
Yeah.
They had been. It sounds like she was actually talking to her husband.
Right.
During this thing, I don't know. I guess she might have been catching up on all of this. But right now, as my hands are shaking, I am so angry. That's how I was when I heard that verdict being read. My hands were shaking, and I was so angry. I couldn't even think straight. And I can't even imagine how this family feels with this injustice. Now, if we're going to start hearing stuff about a juror, she influenced the other jurors of voting because it was a split vote at first.
Right.
Okay. As a white person, I'm not trying to. I just have to say this one thing. Hearing like Melissa Harris Perry and on Chris Hayes last night. It's not just this case, it's all these other cases with black victim or black suspects or possible, you know, how they are treated. And there's just, it's never going to be an equal system because it's set up to be unequal.
Did we hear yesterday that one person was going to vote for second degree murder, two for manslaughter?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm
not sure, but they. I guess it's insinuated that she had influence to change their minds because they had plans this weekend.
Oy vey. All right. Thank you, Mary. Okay, now you made me re-mad.
Uh-oh.
Now I'm re-mad. Doesn't take much.
You're just wasting my time making me sound this jury.
My attorney
plans.
Husband says this, and so we need to go. We're going to...
Have you ever sat on a jury,
We're going to
though?
The Central Coast this weekend.
Have you ever sat on a jury?
No.
If you're getting close to the weekend and...
Your husband wants to go wine tasting, for instance?
And you're close to a verdict, the jury kind of
guilty.
Does what they can to make sure
not
they
guilty,
can get
whatever.
Away. I mean,
that's good.
It's an imperfection in our system, but that's how juries are.
Well, that'll be of some comfort to the parents of the next teen that George Zimmerman decides to shoot with the same gun that he got back.
In my Korean lady contract dispute, that's what we did. We're like, okay, it's almost 5 o'clock on Friday.
Guilty.
Yes.
Not guilty. Whatever.
What was
Just
your Korean lady contract dispute trial? I don't remember.
Remember when I had jury duty?
Well, who can tell when you're here or not? But my point is...
It was a Korean lady who was a developer who had a dispute with the contractor or whatever. It was, you know, really mundane, but The trial started on Monday. The jury got the case on Friday around lunchtime, and we spent the afternoon deliberating. And we were out by five.
Well, I hope you feel no moral pangs of conscience. I
don't. Kimchi for everybody.
No, we all agreed. So we're like,
although
okay.
I envision you saying, please, my boss doesn't understand the law. She'll fire me if I'm not back Monday.
I kind of did.
She is a bitch on wheels, I'm telling you right now. Yeah, the president of Martin Literary Agency, that's who's doing this book, said, my hope is that people will read Juror B-37's book written with her attorney husband, understand the commitment it takes to serve, blah, 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 blah. It could open a whole new dialogue about laws that may need to be revised and revamped to suit a 21st century way of life. Well, that's for sure-sies. The reader will also learn why the jurors had no option to find Zimmerman not guilty due to the manner in which he was charged and the content of the jury instructions. Jim, what do you make of that? Because I've heard a lot of legal experts say he was overcharged, that they made a mistake in the first place. And not because you and I both don't think this was second-degree murder, but because of the burden of proof, they should have gone originally with manslaughter rather than... Because I did say that made it look, you know what I mean, when they did that at the last minute, it did make it look like, oh, okay, well, never mind, how about this, you know? Yeah. And that I think that showed weakness rather than...
But, again, the people on the jury didn't really understand the meaning of manslaughter. For the longest time.
Right. So, I mean, yeah, how this is not a slam dunk manslaughter, I don't know, but anyway.
He killed the kid.
Right.
An unarmed kid.
Yes, there's that.
So he killed him. That would be manslaughter.
Yes. Did you see the prosecutor said, can you think of one word when you think of Zimmerman? She said murderer. You know, but she perhaps could have done a better job prosecuting him.
But, of course, Trayvon did have that big hunk of concrete he was carrying
right.
around.
Right. Yeah. He was armed with sidewalk.
Right,
Mike
sure.
in Memphis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mike.
Hey, good morning.
Hello.
Yes, my first time calling.
Okay.
So, yeah, my thing about the Trayvon Martin trial, for me, I told my mom the same thing because we were talking about it and discussing it. Like, George Zimmerman was told not to chase the guy, but he did. So, essentially, in my opinion, Trayvon Martin stood his ground. So,
yeah.
the prosecution should have brought that up. You know, probably had a better case. But in my opinion, especially when it comes to the whole being black thing, especially in Memphis, my dad and my mom, they taught me, you know, being black, especially in the South, is it's kind of trying because no matter where you go, you consider the criminal. And I used to walk home at night. I used to work at FedEx. And every night, you know, they always say, walking home, if a cop comes, you know, keep your hands out your pocket and do all these other crazy things, you know, to show that, you know, you aren't a threat. And basically it worked because I was walking home many a time and, you know, they would always stop and ask, where was I coming from? And it was pretty obvious because you work at FedEx, you were purple and like, orange all night.
Right.
So
it says right. FedEx on the uniform.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty obvious. I looked like,
I mean, who would choose those colors night. For God's sakes?
Yeah. Like I said, I looked like Grimace walking home at night. So, I mean, but it worked because a lot of times they're like, where are you coming from? I'm like, dude, isn't it obvious? I just came from FedEx. Like,
I just like wearing the uniform.
I just,
I'm a FedEx wannabe.
Chicks tell me they dig a guy in uniform. Yeah. So. All right. Let's go real quick to Arnold, North Carolina.
Steph, good to talk to you this morning.
Yeah.
Listen, you got a good show going because what you're doing to America right now is you're keeping us in the ether of what we usually do in racial relations in this country. We slap a band-aid on a gunshot wound and keep on to the next event. But this time, Steph, I want you to consider this. A Chief Justice on the Supreme Court said a long time ago, that in America, the Negro in America has no rights that a white man will ever respect.
Yeah, all right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You skinny-armed little bitch.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Jim B37. Bingo! No, the no. juror.
Ah. We thought about it for hours and cried over it afterwards. I don't think any of us could ever do anything like that ever again.
My lawyer husband nearly missed the best Shiraz at wine tasting at Central Coast. We had to go. Okay. Did you see
guilty, innocent, whatever?
Did you see the thing online? A jury of his peers, and it's all Paula Deen. All six women are Paula Deen.
It's posted on your Facebook page.
Of course it is. All right. That's funny. Okay. Let's go to Pam in New Hampshire. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Stephanie. I just want to let you know, living in New Hampshire, I had to call Boston this morning, and I put a little thing in that they should investigate the husband and the wife, because there were two women that the state wanted off, and the woman had made comments, and her husband being a lawyer, did him and Mark hang out in the same circles?
Oh.
And is a book deal going to sell better if he's found not guilty? And one more, just to keep in mind when these nuts call in this morning. Mark O'Meara in court played that 4 minutes of silence when Trayvon could have run. And George's statement to the 911 was, shit, he's running.
Okay. All right. S-bomb. He dropped an S-bomb.
Did you get that current TV?
That's what the lady said. He dropped an S-bomb and said he's running.
People don't know how to censor themselves.
Right. You know what? Sometimes people run when it's raining and they want to get home faster because there's an NBA All-Star game on or something like that. You know, and that's why you would have a hoodie up because it was raining, you see. All right. Amanda in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. Hello. Stephanie. I just want to tell you that I'm absolutely have the biggest crush on you. I'm in love with you.
Oh.
And I think we'd have the biggest relationship. I could fill an empty void in you.
It would be a big relationship.
And I'm very big beautiful, love. Too.
You are. You are. Jim, she's very hot. Mm. She wants you to know.
Okay.
All right.
I have nice breasts.
You have nice breasts? Awesome.
I'm waiting right. just for you.
Jim, thanks.
Are you of the lipstick variety?
Yes, I am. I'm a lipstick lesbian.
All right. Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate it. Stop it!
What?
Stop encouraging that.
What?
Jim won't be able to think for the rest of the show as it is. Oh, for God's sakes. All right, back to legal talk. Back to race trader talk.
Instead of lipstick lesbian talk.
Barbara in California, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Barbara.
Hey, Stephanie, how you doing this morning?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, the caller, not the one that's in love with you, the one before that.
Let's pretend that didn't happen.
Okay, baby. If you listened to the interview with Anderson Cooper yesterday, she's right. Her husband went to law school with Mark O'Meara, so why isn't there a conflict of interest?
Is that true, Barbara?
I listened to it, and I wrote my notes down. Her husband went to school with Mark O'Meara.
Oh, my God.
Sure
how
did.
Is...
And then when Anderson Cooper asked her about the book deal, he said, well, when did you know you were going to write the book? You didn't know if you were going to be a juror. And if you listen to her interview, it's like she don't say it, but, oh, George, he couldn't do no wrong. BS.
Wow.
You need to get him.
Wow.
Yep,
well,
you need to go listen to the interview because she said it.
I was, if that's true, that would seem like not just a huge conflict. Right. I was just going to say not just conflict of interest, mistrial. Just saying. Okay. Let's go to Lila in Atlanta. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Lila.
Hey, Stephanie. I'm a fellow race trader.
Awesome.
I'm married to a Mexican, and our daughter is married to a young black man, and he is the nicest guy, straight as an arrow, but he wears styles that are popular of 21-year-olds. And it's very scary, the verdict and how they profiled him racially.
I was reading somebody, I can't remember who yesterday, but, you know, a black parent who said, oh, his kid dresses preppy, but he has an afro. And he literally said, I'm thinking it might be time to tell him he has to cut the afro. Really? And we're in 2013, you got to think about things like that so your kid doesn't get shot by some nutcase.
I know. It's absolutely scary, quite frankly. My granddaughter is a little bit of all of us, and I'm worried about the way she looks.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, in the 70s, I could have been shot by George Zimmerman because my hair looked exactly like Link from Mod Squad. That was because of the home perm.
Well, and didn't your mom rip out some little chunks of hair?
Not, no, excuse me, if you review the story, not little chunks, the entire thing up here, right there.
So you have much higher forehead at prom than you usually
right.
would.
Right, I had a hair, in addition to the afro, I had hair that went straight out like this, because I had, the roller here, she ripped out all the hair.
So you look like a doll's head that had been through the washing machine or
right,
something.
Right, and my mom, as you know, love her, but a well-known liar. She looked at it. I was like, Mom, what is this? And she went like that, and she said, oh, dear, honey, I had that when I was your age, too.
She lied.
Oh,
right?
My
To cover
God.
Up her mistake.
Right? Like, that's a genetic thing? Hair that sticks straight out?
All the kids are wearing the hair.
And you had the
way
bloody
now.
Holes in the middle of your eyebrow, didn't you?
No, they were my, yeah, because she tweezed.
Your
it was
unibrow.
Really not pretty. It's not pretty the first time you tweeze a unibrow.
Using a pair of pliers?
It was a lot of hair, let me just say. And I remember under her breath, I just heard her go, oh
dear.
No, I heard her go, oh, stop bleeding. Stop bleeding.
Stop bleeding.
She went, like she dabbed at them. Oh dear. Oh dear, stop bleeding.
Wow.
That's not a good thing. Wait, can I see a mirror? Oh, no,
no
dear. It's,
no.
I'm not quite finished.
You kind of wished you were Carrie, so you got covered with a bucket of blood,
yeah.
So you wouldn't see.
So you wouldn't see the bloody bloody holes in the middle of your face.
No wonder I turned my boyfriend gay. He enters the door, and I have a link from Mod Squad Afro. Troll hair sticking straight out in bloody holes where my eyebrows used to be. So I hear the Chariots of Fire music.
Uh-huh.
As he runs away. Okay. All right, Laverne in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Laverne.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I'm just calling because, I wanted to thank you guys for doing such a great job for keeping the information out there. This is one of my favorite shows.
Aw, thank you.
I actually have a question and a comment. The comment is, I really found it disrespectful, the statement that Mark O'Meara made about George Zimmerman if he was black, if he would have been arrested. I found that offensive to everyone.
Wait, now what did he say? I have this somewhere. He said, you're talking about during the trial, right?
Yeah. What, no, actually his press conference or their celebration speech.
Oh, right. Yeah, their little their end zone dance.
Yeah.
He said, oh, if George Zimmerman was black, he wouldn't have been arrested?
He wouldn't have been arrested. And that was just so offensive to me for every race.
Well, first of all,
to come out and say that.
Yeah. And first of all, that's completely inaccurate. And
yes, it
and
is.
And he's a douche. But anyway, go
yes,
ahead.
Yes, he is one of the biggest douchebags. Next, my question is, Stephanie, do you all think that possibly maybe the Martin family can actually have a lawsuit against the state of Florida? Because, I mean, they withheld this young man's body for 3 days without his parents being notified of his death. George Zimmerman walked the streets for 46 days, which gave him plenty of time to come up with his self-defense claim. And, I mean, the prosecution, who are now playing the blame game, really didn't do the job that I would figure the taxpayers' money pays them to do.
Yeah, and you know, and all the stuff we've talked about, right? That they drug and alcohol tested Trayvon and not George Zimmerman.
George, exactly.
I mean, yeah.
Exactly. None of his domestic violence history was admissible. Yet
yeah.
Trayvon's marijuana usage was able to
yeah.
be heard.
And you know
by
what?
This jury.
And the other thing is, I mean, in terms of this whole race thing, Laverne, give me a friggin' break. If this was a what do you call it? A white frat guy from the University of Miami, really? Would this
yes.
have gone down like this?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
So, Stephanie, you guys keep doing what you're doing. You guys are making such a positive stance in America.
Thank you.
And I got something else to say for you, Stephanie. If they don't, if they consider you a race traitor, you're more than welcome to come to the other side.
Ah, listen, I'm down with it. Thank you so much.
You'd be an honorary black lady.
I'll go back to my 70s hair.
Is I the only one who thinks Mark O'Meara is just a mealy-mouthed turd?
He's
very oily.
I don't think we should bring race into this. I just think the race is just wrong.
Okay, that's my new favorite impression.
Your Mark O'Meara impression.
I'm sorry, that's a little lost on the radio, but if you're watching on Current.
That's hysterical.
He has a sort of, he's like a Martin Short character.
He needs
a
new dentures.
He also looks like he's perpetually smelling something bad.
I don't like this. I think something, there's something wrong.
Okay, that one is mostly visual, but... true. Someone said he's like a, it's like a Polydent commercial. There's something wrong with him. He needs new teeth. Something. Anyway, yeah. Let's see. George Zimmerman's defense lawyer, that douche that we talked about, called Florida prosecutors a disgrace to my profession. Blah, blah, blah. We'll get into the details of that. He really is just a... Ugh.
Yeah.
Okay. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It's too early to get popping.
No, do it. Do it.
You need to get it popping.
Right?
It popping.
Do it.
Yes.
Playing the entire Race Trader catalog of my music this morning. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. You see how nicely black people have welcomed me into their fold after being called a race trader by white folks yesterday.
That's right.
You see?
You've become an honorary black lady.
Thank you. I'm an angry black lady this morning, to tell you what. If that Mark O'Meara speaks again, I'm just... You know, you won your stupid case. Shut up now. He's just such a jerk.
I just don't think that that's right.
Sorry, what?
Looks like a demented chipmunk. Not only as Christopher Darden pointed out, you know, just like I did yesterday, it really was just an end zone dance of a press conference. Just shut up. There's a dead kid. You know, it's like, oh, this was such a disgrace, prosecuting George Zimmerman, and oh, he's such a victim, and oh, please. I mean, nothing like, oh, our condolences go to the family. I mean, literally, it just, ugh. You know, I mean, that's, anyway. So, the chipmunky prosecutor, or what do you call it, defense attorney.
No, he was a prosecutor, wasn't he?
No, defense attorney.
Yeah, he was on Zimmerman's side.
Zimmerman's side, okay.
Called Florida prosecutors a disgrace to my profession for holding back evidence and pledged to a new effort to impose sanctions against them. He said they're a disgrace to my profession. They said my client was lucky to have been acquitted. Really? Yes, really. Angela Corey responded O'Meara's comments were unprofessional, challenged him to point to any judge's ruling that her office improperly withheld evidence. They're talking about is this came up in the stuff that was in Trayvon's phone that they said, oh, there were embarrassing photos. Well, who doesn't have embarrassing photos in their phone?
I don't.
Really?
Really?
Really, Stephanie?
Whatever, he had a picture of a gun? So what? Like, that's evidence of anything?
Is your phone out?
No, it's hidden. But, I mean, anyway, it just, and whatever, the marijuana plants or something. By the way, Rachel, what's her name, the friend.
Yeah, Chantel,
that she was on CNN last night, and she said that while Trayvon did occasionally smoke marijuana, he never displayed aggressive behavior or expressed an interest in firearms. She said he smoked marijuana about 2 times a week. It was a normal amount for teens in the area. She said, in my area, weed for Trayvon, we don't make him go crazy. It just made him hungry. But again, how is that relevant? You know, I mean, and she said it was racial. Let's be honest. If Trayvon was white and he had a hoodie on, what would that have happened? It happened around 7 o'clock. That's when people walk their dogs. You know, so I mean, it just. And then she reacted to, you know, people making fun of her and, you know, on the way she speaks or whatever. I mean, anyway. Eric Holder yesterday.
The Justice Department shares your concern. I share your concern.
All right. And the President's carny yesterday on the President.
He will not comment on a Department of Justice investigation or on a decision that the Department of Justice will make about how to proceed, if to proceed.
Yeah, because in case you haven't noticed, he's black, so he's not allowed to have an opinion or say anything. Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, morning, folks.
Morning.
You know what? When they were trying to get their country back when Obama was first running, they're trying to get back to legislation. You think about this. We need civil rights. And we need to get the voting laws back where they were because these people are still alive who were discriminating back in the 60s and 50s.
Right.
And so now look at them. One, they want us to not vote. Two, they want us to be scared of them. So if they pass these laws that you can shoot anybody you want, how many people are going to be scared every time they see anybody of color? Right. So, I mean, you think about it, they're slowly manipulating the Supreme Court and our back to where they can take their country back to where it was. Everybody's making minimum wage. Only a handful of people are rich. Blacks got to be scared of white people because now they can stand their ground and shoot and kill them. Mm-hmm. Affirmative action. We don't have to let nobody in our schools if we don't like them. So they're getting that country back in the worst kind of way. And people really, really, really need to put it all together and look at one picture. And also women. They're taking women back where they got to go to the kitchen, make less money, stay pregnant.
Yeah.
And the whole kind of move. So we're going back to the beaver cleaver days.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Not a good kind of beaver. Cleaver. Great piece in Salon. For George Zimmerman, the system worked. Interesting. Let's see. Blah, blah, blah. This weekend I read numerous pieces arguing that Zimmerman's acquittal was in line with Florida law. I mean, yeah, that is the larger picture that mm-hmm. we have to look at. Because somebody, we were saying that, yeah, they didn't technically use the stand your ground, but they, you know, they're saying you couldn't really ignore it. And there's a persuasive argument. The burden of proof was on the state to prove that Zimmerman didn't reasonably believe his life was in imminent danger. The fact that Zimmerman was, in a sense, responsible for the altercation does not mean he initially provoked, quote-unquote, the conflict, according to Florida law.
Yeah, he did.
Not according to the way Florida law is written.
The fact that he was armed and Trayvon Martin wasn't is likewise immaterial to Florida's self-defense
wow.
law. Well, there's not something wrong with that law. I mean,
wow.
Come on.
Unbelievable.
For George Zimmerman, then, the system worked. He got just about the fairest trial America has to offer, a shining example of our commitment to upholding the law, even when the result isn't ideal.
I had to shoot him. I had a gun.
Zimmerman got to pick his own qualified attorney. He went with the president of the Seminole County Bar Association, who worked the case pro bono. How many people have that option? Because he became a poster boy for what? Gun rights, mm-hmm. for racists, for whoever, for vigilantes everywhere.
Well, the NRA
instead of being having an overworked, underpaid, quite possibly incompetent right. court-appointed attorney, like most people would have to
exactly.
have.
The NRA wanted to make sure that George Zimmerman won this case so that they could continue to keep the stand your ground law that mm-hmm. they fought tooth and nail for in Florida
right.
to keep it in place.
And they're pretending it's irrelevant to
yeah.
this.
Right. And I always said with the OJ case, it's not black or white, it's green.
Yeah.
So he could afford, you can afford to buy an awful lot of reasonable doubt, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I mean, this guy's just lucky. Doughy pant load that Sean Hannity decides is a hero. That's basically what happened,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And Zimmerman was also lucky enough to have killed a young black teenager in a stand-your-ground state. While stand-your-ground wasn't invoked in the trial, it didn't have to be. States with those laws on their books are simply more favorable environments
mm-hmm.
for white defendants accused of killing black people. Whites who kill blacks in stand-your-ground states are far more likely to be found justified in their killings. In non-stand-your-ground states, whites are 250% more likely to be found justified in killing a black person than a white person who kills another white person. In stand-your-ground states, that number jumps to 354%. This is by Alex Perini in Salon. Zimmerman's attorney this weekend said if his client were black, he wouldn't have been charged. A claim that's so strange, so widely at odds with observable reality that even Michael Steele mocked it. It's actually pretty easy to imagine how this would have worked out. And, we've talked about that scenario over and over again. I mean, give me a break. Anyway, he ends by saying, if the law says George Zimmerman shouldn't be in jail, it's a selectively applied law.
Yeah.
America will be a more just place when everyone's criminal trials resemble George Zimmerman's, though perhaps without the involvement of Piers Morgan.
Yeah. Doesn't sound like there's any involvement. You just let him talk.
For now, though, this was an acquittal only certain people would have been able to afford. And that
sounds like stand your ground is inherently racist.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it is. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Good morning, mm-hmm. honorary black woman. You've got your black husband waiting for you.
Thank
you.
You
want to join the group.
Awesome.
We've already done the you may now kiss your bride part, so...
True. all that is left is for me to haul my black ass to D.C. Let's get this going on.
Well, absolutely. She's even talking the vernacular now. We're going to make her black yet. But, it is a rough, although on the plus side, my white coworkers royally kissed my ass all yesterday. Pretty awesome.
We have a controversy. a black guy that works here right after us, and he walked in the studio and he goes, "Hey, folks, I'm just trying to get to work here."
Yeah.
No,
he was carrying a bag of Skittles and iced tea.
A bag of Skittles and an Arizona iced tea.
I'm just trying to get to work.
And absolutely, and I want to keep that going. Hey, Sexy Liberal DC crew, Donna, Sue and Rockville, everyone, I'm in need of intense comforting.
Right. Right. It's like all that America Strikes Back sex that the firefighters got after 9/11.
Yeah.
You know. It's just I'm sorry for Trevon sex.
But I do want to say, you know, you I hope this wakes people up. I mean, this is a serious issue. The way that you're reacting, and a lot of white people, both I know personally and on the air, makes me know that everyone believes in this demented crap.
Right.
Yeah.
But this really has to
do
be
it. Sue and Rockville, come on, let's go. Kevin Zimmerman verdict, makeup sex with Kevin. Let's go. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce is mad about the Zimmerman verdict like we are. We will talk to him at the bottom of the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. The venting lines are still open.
Oh, yeah.
Think of an alternative to call me other than a race trader. Just saying. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Next hour, Tina Dupuy has a great piece, Southern Fried Christian Sharia. Because, hey, while we've got racism going on, don't forget about the sexism, kids. Look at the laws. They pass it in Texas and North Carolina and elsewhere. By the way, we do recommend an airline if you want to get out of Texas.
From San Antonio to El Paso, from Austin to Fort Worth, suddenly, we've noticed people want to get out of Texas. We're Transvaginal Airlines. And thanks to us, people have discovered thousands of exciting destinations outside the Lone Star State. It's become like a whole nother country. Contact your travel agent and meet us at DFW's new Tampon Gate.
Thank you, Rocky Mountain Mike. A proud new sponsor of the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Representative Jeffries, Democrat of New York.
A grand jury should ultimately determine whether he shot Trayvon Martin because he was black in violation of our nation's civil rights laws.
And by the way, Ben Jealous, I was saying, I saw on TV last night, and he said there was a lot of evidence that did not get in the trial about people that knew Zimmerman talking about racism, people that other black kids from the neighborhood that felt targeted by him, stuff like that. Ben Jealous, yeah.
We're continuing to do what we've always done, and say keep the faith in our justice system. But part of keeping the faith in our justice system is being able to access the full extent of our justice system. And that's what the people of this country are crying for.
Put the justice back in justice system.
Right, exactly. And now here is the angry chipmunk. Mark O'Meara, George Zimmerman's douchey attorney.
Obviously, we are ecstatic with the results. George Zimmerman was never guilty of anything except protecting himself in self-defense.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad that the jury saw it that way, and I hope that everyone who thinks, particularly those who doubted George's reasons and doubted his background, now understand that the jury knew everything that they knew was enough for them to find him not guilty.
He's just the best, I must say.
He's like, isn't he
just the best?
Nathan Thurm on steroids.
No, Nathan Thurm is a different Martin Short character.
Oh, well, but I'm just saying, he sounds like Nathan Thurm on steroids.
It's me, right? It's not him, it's me. No, it's him. I know, right? I know that. Do you think I don't know that?
Ray in Iowa, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ray.
It's obvious he's disturbing himself and making himself angry about a total fictitious thing that's only a figment of his imagination. And then he's got this false courage because he knows he has a gun in his pocket. If he didn't have that gun in his pocket, he wouldn't have stepped out of the truck and been as brave as he was to go after the kid.
Right.
It's so much culpability there that it's just unbelievable.
Well, and how does he say, remember at this press conference, didn't O'Meara say, you know, George Zimmerman, you know, Trayvon is dead, but George Zimmerman has absolutely nothing to do with it. What?
He fired the gun.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah. The fact that he literally said during the trial, Trayvon caused his own death is...
That's offensive.
My point is, he's black. I mean, right? Am I the only one?
That's crazy.
Stop it. I can't look at him when he does it. Okay, Renee in Nashville, Tennessee. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Steph. How are you guys this morning?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm going to get back to a little bit of a smile. But do you remember years ago in Living Color, Jim Carrey did this character, Fireman Bob?
Yes, Fireman Bill.
From the moment I saw Mark O'Meara's face, that was the only thing I could think about every time he talked. It was very distracting.
Yes.
Anyhow.
He looks like looks a little like the Clackety Comedy Teeth with a head around them.
Sucking through the teeth every other word and all that. It was almost as disgusting as the entirety of this.
Right. You can't tell if it's more irritating what he's saying or how he's saying it, but it's a toss-up.
Fireman Bob, for sure.
Bill.
All right. Whatever. Denise.
She was running with it, so.
All right, fly girl. Denise in Maryland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Denise.
Hello, how are you?
Good, go ahead.
To talk about the 4 minutes of silence. Since when in 2013 do you have to go straight home? Right. Why was it that he had to go straight home? 4 minutes. Did anybody ever think that maybe the way the T was shaped when he ran to the end, he couldn't get a through way to go out, and he had to run back up, and by then George was looking for him again?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought we taught our kids that if you see a stranger, you run. And you walk fast, you get on the phone, you talk to somebody if you see a stranger, and you talk to them till you feel like you got somewhere safe. Why didn't they think that he was stalking him?
Yeah.
Why couldn't he defend himself?
Well, I mean, that's the problem, is it really was, you know, the Stand Your Ground law really applied more to Trayvon, but he, unfortunately, I guess in this case, was not armed, you know, so... anyway, my friend Michael Tomosky, who I want to date and kiss and marry. Although it's not the happiest, clappiest, but although I have to say a lot of us depressed about racial stuff after this verdict. He writes, America's regression under Obama, more backlash than progress. Because I think, you know, he talks about what a lot of us talked about. We were all so hopeful right after the president was elected, and I think we expected some backlash, maybe not the degree and the ugliness that we've actually seen. But he says, Tomosky writes, I can't quite call it a good moment, since what just happened down in Sanford, Florida is decidedly ungood, but an opportune one to think about race in Barack Obama's America. I never went in for that post-racial America foolishness, and in fact, I believe from the start there would be remarkable examples of both progress and powerful backlash against progress. Once you get past the fact of Obama's election itself, there really hasn't been much racial progress, but the backlash has been ferocious. The cruel paradox that the country's first black president can't really talk about race. We'll get to another one, like I really want to, but Bat Bachman talked about the president needs to be spanked. Like, what? Do you remember people talking about white presidents like this? You don't even know if it's racial or just disrespectful. It's like, what?
She said, we need to take away his magic wand.
Shut up. So imagine instead that he talks about that the president actually just responded to a single question and said, I imagine if I had a son, he'd look like Trayvon.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Tomosky's arguing he should have even talked more about race. The problem is, you know, the Fox News of the world and the Rush Limbaughs, you know, have him so, like, if he says anything about race, it's him racializing. Anyway, Tomosky says, so imagine instead Obama had walked into that day in the Rose Garden and talked about growing up black, about the times undoubtedly there were many in the lives of most young black men, that cops followed him when he wasn't doing anything wrong, that he heard calls for security on store public address systems shortly after he walked in the door, that he kept a list in his head of things he shouldn't do in public lest he arouse suspicion. To me and many millions of Americans, such testimony from the President of the United States would have been powerful stuff. But alas, there are other, anyways, talks about, you know, would have made a lot of decent and empathetic white Americans think hard. But alas, there are other Americans who aren't decent and empathetic. The right-wing media would have immediately started howling about how Obama was racializing the incident. Anyway, and he finishes saying, the fact is that thanks to the Supreme Court, civil rights have arguably gone backward during his tenure, and because so many states have passed laws that permit people to carry weapons and use them anytime they feel threatened, there are going to be more Trayvon Martins. Obama surely cares about this. He should forget about the people who despise him and think a little more about the ones who admire him, and he should imagine and provide the kind of leadership they want him to show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. Is, you know, Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh and all, they're going to, you know, accuse you of hating white people or whatever it is, racializing things, no matter what you do. So, you know, I think at least if we're having an honest conversation about race, that's something around this. Let's go to Daniel in Oregon. Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Hi.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Stumbled upon it a few months ago and watched ever since. I was calling in about the Trayvon Martin trial. I'm sorry, the George Zimmerman trial, although it was more a...
Yeah, actually, you said it right the first time. Yeah.
I agree with what Lutz was said, that the jury came back with the right verdict based upon the evidence and the way the case was presented. But I have a question. If what we know about juror B-17, bingo, about
37.
How she, her husband, went to school.
Yeah, with Mark O'Mara.
Excuse me, I get a little nervous. And the possibility that there was a book written before the jury verdict.
Yeah.
Came back.
I mean, I don't know. Jim, that's what Jim said, mistrial, but we'll see. We'll get one of our fancy attorney experts on to ask him about that.
Okay.
Guy in New Orleans, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Guy.
I really thank your show for making us laugh, Stephanie, to keep from crying. I really do.
Thank you, Guy.
Anderson Cooper never asked this juror, and, you know, he may ask her in his second part tonight, did Trayvon Martin have the right to stand his ground? And it was just ironic that this lady said that they took everything off the table in the deliberation room and started their deliberations and their verdict thing right at the point of contact when they think Trayvon Martin threw the punch. So they just disregarded this man following his boy, getting out of his vehicle when the people told him not to. And I just, for the sake of me, cannot understand why they would just start right there. You know, over the whole period of time, everybody was saying that the prosecution was doing such a bad job to never get a conviction. Well, it was surprising to me that the jurors said when they went in there, it was 3-3. So somebody believed the prosecution.
Yeah, Guy, that's an interesting point. I was surprised to hear that, you know, 3-3. And one was for second-degree murder. So, yeah, interesting. Developing, as Tom Brokaw would say.
Yes.
All right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All right, in another case that had nothing to do with the race, Paula Deen. Video of Paula Deen openly admitting to using the N-word will never see the light of day, so ruled the judge in the lawsuit filed by one of her ex-employees. Kind of too late. Barn door, horse. Maybe you two haven't met. We're told the video is colorful. Fill in your own joke there. But you'll probably never see it, at least if the judge has his way. Too late. Too late for you.
Is the judge wearing short pants and tap shoes?
No.
And a bow tie?
No, not reportedly. Let's go to Daryl in Michigan. Hi, Daryl. Welcome.
Was Trayvon Martin not a hero? He did not lead a creepy-ass cracker back to his dad's girlfriend's place where a 12-year-old was. And secondly, there were assumptions made by the police, Trayvon Martin, and George Zimmerman. And the only one who was correct was Trayvon Martin.
What?
I'm
confused.
Not sure we followed you.
You confused all
Trayvon
of us.
Trayvon Martin did not lead George Zimmerman back to where a 12-year-old was.
Uh-huh.
How did he know that George Zimmerman was not a pedophile? How did he know? He didn't know who he was.
So he stood his ground because he didn't want to lead him back to his dad's apartment.
Yeah, he didn't know who this guy was. He could have been a pedophile.
Right.
Why would you lead a he could have thought, hey, man, this guy's creepy.
Wow.
Trayvon Martin made that assumption, and he was right.
Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. That was random. Okay. I don't know. Just saying. That was a little bit of an offshoot.
He could have been made of marshmallow.
He could have been. Right. Alan Buffalo,
you might have been a shapeshifter. Sure.
Right. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Yes, exactly.
Hi, Al. I just want to say, with an all-Republican Supreme Court decision and the creation of Citizens United and striking down Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act, dismantling everything that Martin Luther King fought for, and then you have this Zimmerman case. And do you remember during the health insurance reform debate when members of Congress were being spit on as they were trying to get back into the into the building and they were holding up signs that basically calling the president every single name except the N-word.
Right.
But basically I just think there's an element of culture shock with the first African-American president.
Yeah.
I mean, well, and I don't know, I myself, I am just, if they win, I mean, the governor from I think it's Colorado, he's not going to run for Senate. Is that true?
Who are we talking about? Hickenlooper?
No, the Schweitzer.
Oh, Schweitzer in Montana. You're talking about?
Yeah,
he said.
So we're not going to win that Senate seat, right? Is that correct?
Well, it doesn't look like it. No.
Yeah. Well, that worries me because
me too. Yeah, no, me too. It could be a toss-up, I think, is what he's saying. There was a piece in the New York Times yesterday about Senate control, which is the juror in the B-37. Oh, you sunk my battleship.
Oh.
A juror who made her first public appearance since the trial said race did not play a role in the jury's decision.
Right.
But admitted she believes Zimmerman went above and beyond his role as neighborhood watch member. You think?
Yeah.
Okay. Jim in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Jim.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I think we are going through the growing pains of a racist, sexist country. I think the pendulum was ready to swing back before Bush stole that second election, and it swung back so far that, Obama was absolutely the best choice that first election. But what I want to just say is I got a big problem with this juror B-37. It's like she bought thing at the Georgie Zimmerman Warehouse of Lies for Men, you're going to hate you feel it, I guarantee it. And it's terrible. I mean, I'm an idiot here, but couldn't she have literally just said, like, wow, we felt he was lying. I mean, I keep hearing people say, well, the way the law was written, almost like it was a foregone conclusion. But I really think that, he had so many freaking lies. And what she should have said was, well, three people felt he was guilty. There were two that didn't want him to be guilty. And then there was me, and we convinced the other ones. But he was freaking lying. Yeah,
well, Jim, I was reading Christopher Darden, who made the same point that I made yesterday, that this very well, if there's a civil trial, and he has to testify, could go the same way the OJ thing did.
I hope so, because then he'll have to testify. And I mean, he lied about so many freaking things.
Right.
I mean, he didn't know the name of the street. There were only three of them.
Yeah.
I mean, how the hell did this kid see the gun if it was tucked behind him? I mean, he lied about so much, and she just believed little Georgie, and it seems very creepy. And your good friend.
It seems creepy to call the defendant Georgie right away. I mean, I think more is going to come out about this, obviously.
Hey, Jim, I love your impersonation. I think it's very creepy.
That is one creepy cracker, that Mark O'Meara. In my opinion,
I don't think this is right. I think race should be an issue at all. And he had a big piece of concrete with him.
Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, Charlie Pierce next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Another accepted usage for the term hoe.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Well, you know there's going to be entertainment when you start by saying, Charlotte Pierce is mad.
There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
There's nothing funny this week. Hello, good morning, Charlie Pierce.
Hi, guys. Listen, I may have to interrupt our segment from time to time because I have the electricians over trying to fix the air conditioning. So if I have to absent myself from the proceedings for a couple of minutes, you guys will understand, right? You can play some music or something.
It's supposed to be 89 and very humid there today in Boston.
It's very, very humid and very, very hot. And we're not in a good mood.
No.
No, we're not.
We are not amused.
It's wicked humid.
You know what? My air conditioning just went out. We had our heat wave. Your air conditioning just knows to do that.
It does, and apparently air conditioning all over my town is are fritzing simultaneously. They're fritzing and we're spritzing.
That's right.
Spritzing or whatever.
You were spritzing in words.
Spritzing and spritzing.
Exactly. On the Zimmerman verdict, as the rest of us were. You know, and you said it best. You said, in theory at least, here's what's now possible. Some night very soon, if he so chooses, George Zimmerman can load his piece, tuck it into the back of his pants, climb into his SUV, and drive around San for looking for holes and punks who are walking through neighborhoods where he, George Zimmerman, defender of law and order, doesn't think they belong. I mean, you know, I don't know whether you were surprised. Were you surprised by the
No, not at all. I mean, not at all. But, you know, to me, the whole point of what's happened since can be summed up in the phrase, they gave him back his gun.
Right.
Can we at least all agree that George Zimmerman might need just a skosh more firearms training before we send him out there again with the same weapon?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you make the same point we've all been making about race, but you say thought experiments are useless. Now, of course, if the races of the two participants were reversed, Trayvon Martin already would have been doing time. Of course, black kids have to walk through a world in which how they're dressed is evidence against them. I mean, when the verdict verse came out, you just said nothing good has come of this whole situation, nothing, and we are two nations. I mean, I have to say, you're right. With our first black president in 2013, this was depressing.
And look at all the heat that the president and the attorney general are already getting about what they may or may not do because they too happen to be black.
Right.
When this was supposed to be the day of jubilee, you know. And instead, it's just another complication.
Well, you just and I quoted you earlier, as I do, where you said, this wouldn't. They have circumstances lined up against them. They would not have been lined up against, say, Bill Clinton and Janet Reno for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I mean, and they should ignore them, by the way, and do what they think is right.
Right. Right.
But let's not pretend the circumstances aren't there.
Right. The most disturbing piece that you wrote is our vigilante nation. I mean, this is what we mostly talked about. This is a green light for racist vigilantes.
Not more than that. I mean, we have vigilante cops. We have, we have to an extent a vigilante foreign policy. I mean, we have a lot of vigilantism going on, and we're all very comfortable with it, as long as it's aimed at the right people.
Well, you know, and the other big part of this, you talk about specifically, because we have to say, oh, this is not about race, oh, it's not about guns. You say specifically it was not about the propaganda of the gun culture that sends George Zimmerman, a pathetic, trigger-happy, wannabe cop out there in public, free to choose to make sidewalk judgments about who belongs where and why, and to back those judgments up with lethal force if it turns out he made a mistake. And you say we now live in a vigilante culture. I mean, this is what's terrifying, right?
Right. Well, I mean, it's not terrifying to you and me because we won't face these circumstances. But I think, you know, people like Melissa Harris Perry and Charles Blow in the New York Times today and black parents who have sons. I have no idea what you would say to your kid now. Not only do you have to behave in a certain muted way when confronted by police, you have to behave in a certain muted way whenever some white person who thinks he has authority comes up and talks to you. I mean, that's 1929.
Right.
Say, wear a vest under your hoodie.
Yeah. I mean, and you say stand your ground is vigilantism hallowed by legislation.
Sure. You are asking for, when you pass this, whether you know it or not, you are asking for these events to happen.
Yeah.
You want these events to happen.
You say
because you want to demonstrate to the quote-unquote criminal element what can happen.
And you say this does nothing but produce a national schizophrenia about crime and fear and weaponry that we inevitably act out. And that's the, like you say, the scary thing. There will be more George Zimmermans and more Trayvons and the hope that you go, gee, will Florida look at this law? Probably not. right?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I can't see it happening, and I also can't see a national conversation about anything.
Yeah,
you know, we're going to pass this right over again.
Well, you know, and George Zimmerman, we were reading another piece earlier, Charlie, had the great good luck to, you know, the Sean Hannitys of the world decided he's such a hero, right? That, you know, he got a great lawyer pro bono. I mean, it's really incredible because of whatever it is, gun rights, racism.
I think the other important thing to remember is that the original, you know, outrage over this whole incident wasn't about wanting George Zimmerman to go to jail. It was about wanting George Zimmerman to go to trial.
Right.
Originally, there wasn't even going to be a trial.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
And now you've got the local prosecutor saying, well, we were getting ready to indict him for manslaughter anyway. Yeah, that's a nice thing to say a week after the verdict comes down.
But you weren't. I was.
The only drug test that was performed on the victim, by the way.
Right, right. And I was watching the Hannity clip, and not only to say, oh, would you do anything different? No. That, oh, it was God's plan. Really? It's God's plan that an unarmed teenager is dead.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm hoping against hope that he resists the temptation to be a celebrity, but judging from what he and his brother have been and his lawyers have been talking about since the verdict, I'm not optimistic.
Yeah, yeah. How about those attorneys? How about that end zone dance of a press conference? Yeah.
Well, that was something. I mean, the whole thing that he wouldn't have even been charged if he was black, that's so freaking absurd. I thought Melissa Harris-Perry was going to have a stroke. I really did.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, but you're absolutely right.
You could see her braids tighten.
I've said the same thing though, you know, and all the, you know, the black parents we've talked to this week on the phones, Charlie, is that you're right. You and I can't imagine what that.
No, I don't
is,
have
that's
to have,
like.
I never had to have that conversation with my sons.
Right.
You know, I never did.
Right.
And my son wears a hoodie. One of my sons wears hoodies now. I mean, but I never had to. You know, that if a stranger comes up to you and says, "What are you doing here?" The proper response is not. You know, what the hell business of it is yours, you know, pudge ball. But the proper response is, well, sir, I'm just walking back to my, you know, father's girlfriend's house with my snack food to
right.
watch the All-Star game,
right.
sir.
Right.
You know, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
That's a conversation I never had to have.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Well, Charlie, great stuff as usual. You're right.
Many things will be funnier next week.
Yeah, right.
Rick Perry seems to be gearing up for another presidential run. Hey, did you see Michelle Bachmann talking about spanking the president?
Yeah. I just said...
Don't you think Marcus was thrilled?
Yeah.
I know. Another barbarian.
He needs to be disciplined.
Right. What? Yeah. I'm not saying there's anything weird going on in that family, but...
We have to understand... Barbarians need to be educated. Mm. They need to be disciplined.
Spanked.
That's the thing. You go, is it, I don't know, disrespectful, A, B, racist, or C, just kind of kinky and weird. Michelle Bachmann's talking about spanking a grown man.
I don't know, but he's retiring. He now has to go back to Marcus full time, so I have no idea what's going to happen there.
Oh, God.
I think ball gag sales will go through the roof.
All right, you know, you can't top ball gags, so now we got to go.
So let's
I love
quit
you.
On that one, right?
Yeah. Go fix your air conditioning.
Goodbye.
Happy air conditioning. Bye, honey. There he goes. Charlie. Yeah, you get so numb to this stuff that, you know, you go, he's a grown man. Is it just disrespectful to the office once again? Is it racial?
All of the above.
Right. I'm just saying, you can't, you know, when people go, oh, well, that wasn't racial, because you can't say anything's racial, but you go, really? With a lot of, you know, the histories of flogging black people, that wasn't inappropriate at best for her to say we need to spank the president? Ugh.
And take away his magic wand sounds an awful lot like castrating, which is what they used to do.
Right. He said, Michelle Bachmann said Monday, Republicans are in danger of losing control of the House of Representatives in 2014 if they let President Obama wave his magic wand and allow newly legal immigrants to vote.
There we go. There's the magic wand.
And the congresswoman explained to WorldNet Daily.
Oh, God.
The only way to prevent this from happening is for Congress to give the president a spanking on immigration. President Obama has a perpetual magic wand, Bachmann asserted, and nobody's giving him a spanking yet and taking it out of his hand.
What the hell?
Ugh. That's what Congress needs to do. Give the president a major wake-up call. The way we spank the president, according to Bachmann, is through the checkbook, denying him the funding, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
Super crazy.
So she wants more gridlock. And bankrupting the country.
Yes.
And letting the infrastructure disintegrate.
That is the reason why they have less than 10% approval rating in Congress.
Yeah. And infantilizing the president. Yeah.
Infantilizing.
Right, exactly.
Infantilizing.
All right.
Infantilism.
Juror B-37.
You sank my battleship.
Right. I didn't know if you were going to go with the bingo or the battleship.
We went with both.
I was offering you the opportunity.
There was a B-47 and
this
a B-36 bomber, but I don't think there was a B-37.
No.
Bunch of horse pucky. She would discuss on CNN whether race was involved in reviewing the case. She said, I don't think it did. If there was another person, Spanish, white, Asian, if they came into the same situation as Trayvon did, I think George would have reacted the same way. Really?
Great.
Really?
Shoot him in the chest. Mm. Sure.
Really?
What are you doing here, effing punk?
I think all of us thought race did not play a role. Well, then you're all dummies. We never had that discussion. I think he just profiled him because he was on the neighborhood watch, and he profiled anyone that was acting strange.
Sure, of course.
How was Trayvon acting strange?
He was walking while black.
However, she did acknowledge the jury was initially split on the decision, saying that two jurors initially pushed for manslaughter and the third pushed for second-degree murder. Huh. Eventually, they all just magically settled on not guilty.
Were they bribed?
Huh.
Threatened?
Funny that. She said of what happened, it just went terribly wrong. I think he's guilty of not using good judgment.
Yeah.
When he was in the car and called 911, he shouldn't have gotten out of the car.
Yeah.
Right. When asked if she feels sorry for the death of Trayvon Martin, she responded, I feel sorry for both of them.
Oh, shut up.
Really? What? Oh, really? Equally? I think both of them were responsible for the situation they got themselves into?
Yes. I think Hitler and Roosevelt were equally responsible for World War II.
It's late for a Hitler first for Hitler.
Yeah.
Rappers. Yeah. I think they each could have made the decision to walk away. Really? You're being chased and stalked
away.
By a guy with a gun. You're running
he did
away.
He walk away. Oh, that was the problem.
Oh, my God. He said, I think he has every right to carry a gun. I think everyone has a right to carry a gun.
Yeah.
Really? Right. No, not really.
Blind people?
Not everyone does have a right to...
Criminally insane people? Like George Zimmerman?
Felons in some states?
She paused for several seconds when asked about whether George, about serving on a neighborhood watch in her own community, whether she would want George Zimmerman. If he didn't go too far, oh, okay. He didn't stop at the limitations he should have stopped at. I would
what?
Feel comfortable having George.
Well,
but I think he's learned a good lesson. I think he didn't know
they
when
didn't
to stop.
Get away with killing a kid. That's a good lesson.
Oh, so he just gets a one-off of shooting someone through the heart? Like, oh, okay. I just think he didn't know when to stop. George has learned a good lesson now. Okay,
he
so
stopped
now,
after one bullet,
oh,
so
I see.
Yay.
Yes. Now a warning? Okay.
God.
Now he'd be a good neighborhood watch guy?
Now a warning?
Yeah, that's an important lesson. Oh, good. Well, we all feel better. Okay, 46 minutes after the hour.
My heart hurts.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. Kristen Yankton is correct. We have not yet heard from Juror B-52.
That's right.
And we don't know if he sounds like...
Is it Cindy Wilson or...
Kate Pearson.
All right. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800.
Face player whose name I forget.
Steph12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Oh, well, here's the real justice. This is the real George Zimmerman lawyer to resume NBC News lawsuit ASAP.
Great.
George Zimmerman now set to renew his push for legal action against NBC News.
For reporting the news?
No, they were forced to apologize for the botched editing of the original Zimmerman 911 call. The editor made it sound like Zimmerman voluntarily told an operator Martin was black. In fact, he was responding to a question about Martin's race. NBC fired a reporter and a producer for the error. However, I'm just saying, as Ben Jealous
missing
was,
the point.
Right, as Ben Jealous was saying, there was plenty of other evidence that didn't even make it into trial about racial stuff with George Zimmerman. And, you know, as Al Sharpton said on TV, too, when he said, you know, these punks and these holes always get away with it. Who's they?
Yep.
Who's they? Who are you talking about exactly? I mean, give
people
me a
eating Skittles. Obviously.
Right, exactly. Let's go to Zoe in Michigan. Hey, Zoe, welcome.
Oh, I've got 3 points.
Okay.
First of all, the prosecution could have blown away the defense. When they showed pictures of the self-appointed sheriff with his injuries, his nose and his, you know, his little blood on his head, that could have been from a ricochet of his gun and he hit himself.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Then they're never mentioning the police chief that resigned after the Department of Justice started the investigation, which is only suspended, not terminated.
Right.
bit, right?
Right. Well, right until the criminal trial was over, correct?
Exactly. And the other thing I wanted to mention was, since when do burglars walk through a neighborhood on a rainy night, a night of a big game, and case a neighborhood?
Right.
Give me a break.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that seems to me the biggest...
She meant kickback, not ricochet, by the way.
Yeah.
Thing.
Right. Kickback from the gun firing. Yeah. Well, that was the only thing we said that I'd ever got, is that just, to me, that seems like the most damning thing, is these were such superficial injuries. They did not match up with his story at all. I think that a lot of people have talked about the fact there was no blood on Trayvon, no DNA, nothing. How did they have this major fight where he felt like he was this close to death that he had to defend himself?
Right.
All right. Deborah in Chattanooga, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Deb.
Hi. How are you guys?
Good. Go ahead.
I want to say, Chris, I really like your hair.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, isn't he precious? Oh,
you're welcome. Listen, I did want to say that I also have been called a race traitor, but down here they use much uglier.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine what they
I've been called that, too.
Yeah, and I've also been called a bleeding heart liberal, a tree hugger, but to all of those things I reply, well, thank you.
Thank you. Yes, that's what that's how I reply.
Yeah. Well, listen, I wanted to say that the only person that could even claim self-defense was Trayvon Martin. I mean, you know, Zimmerman was a bully with a gun, and Trayvon was a kid with Skittles. I mean, I am not surprised, though, after the O.J. verdict and Casey Anthony verdict. I tell you, I truly was not surprised
People
can... People are just idiots.
Yeah.
But
yeah. Well, thank you for calling the Race Trader Show. We appreciate it. You're on your show, control, muscles, and pretty deep. Just called by the FCC. Race Trader talks on the show all day. One little bit of a harmless day. Race Trader. Maybe. But not too dark, pretty. Race Trader. Maybe. It's amazing what they'll do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also a tree hugger.
Yeah.
I may have an interracial relationship while hugging a tree just to see how much matter I can make Newsbusters. Okay. Let's go to Christine in Cleveland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Christine.
Good morning, you all.
Hello.
Wanted to just kind of bring back... the issue about the American legislative, the American Legislative Exchange Council, which is ALEC.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because this, you know, callers before have talked about the, SCOTUS taking our country backwards. And for months and probably, well, since the president became president, we have had issue. I mean, the race issue has never gone away. But then we have this black man in the White House. And then we have these rulings coming down, not only from the Supreme Court of the United States, but we have this ALEC.
Yeah.
The American Legacy. And there was a great website. I was watching either Melissa or Rachel or one of those wonderful women on MSNBC, and they came up with the ALEC Exposed.org, and it's basically talking about the corruption of our corporate system of this country.
Right.
So corporations are not people. And I think that, you know, your listeners, our listeners, let's just call them ours.
Yes.
That
let's not be all possessive.
Yes, we can be all possessive. The ALEC Exposed.org.
Mm-hmm.
And they will find out about these large corporations. Back when they were talking about Papa John's, and State Farm is one, and all these large corporations that are donating and are supporters of this American, you know, legislative exchange council.
Right. Well, and so they're behind a lot of these ridiculous gun laws.
It's ALEC Exposed.org, not .com. Just want to let you know that.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Aldis in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Aldis.
Hey, so, you know, a lot of the people who are happy that George Zimmerman came away with a not guilty are pointing to it being as a big success for the concept of presumed innocent until proven guilty. And where they're wrong, of course, is that it's a horrible failure of that, because Trayvon Martin was not presumed innocent.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's how this whole thing started, right?
Absolutely. And so basically it's one of those things where I'm trying to point out to people, it's like, look, I understand that the justice system is formed on the idea that we can't just go convicting people, you know, without proper evidence. But unfortunately, that's exactly how George Zimmerman got away with it, is we convicted Trayvon Martin without
And then, you know what, and then he was convicted again. Somebody slipped and said the Trayvon Martin trial, and I said, no, you got it right. You know, this wasn't a Zimmerman trial. This was about, you know, trying Trayvon Martin in absentia, as
That's
it
right.
were. Yeah. 58 minutes after the hour, we're back with Tina Dupuy and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Don't forget, most days you can see me on the CNN television network at 4:45 or so Pacific time, unless I'm bumped for something more important, which is almost everything. However, last night I was telling Jackie for the Asiana Airlines suing this TV station.
Yeah.
That incorrectly reported racially offensive names of the four pilots. They said, blah, blah, blah. We decided to sue KTVU because Asiana Airlines thinks their news defames our pilots. Hey, you know what defames their pilots' reputations?
The fact they crashed the plane.
Right, the fact that they had a plane crash. That probably, that seems to hurt their reputation a little more. An anchorwoman at KTVU, blah, 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 fell victim to an apparent prank and reported four bogus pilot names, including Sumting Wong and Wee Too Low, among other things. First of all, as I was pointing out, she didn't do it on purpose. She did it because she's obviously kind of dopey, as are the people that work at the TV station. And I'm just saying, you can't help that it, all racially insensitive as it was funny. And Bill,
inadvertently funny.
And I mentioned on CNN last night that it's just as funny when Bill O'Reilly falls for it.
Dick Pinch, Clear Lake, Iowa.
I'm here to read what is in front of me on the teleprompter.
Jack Mayerhofer, Springfield, Massachusetts.
I have no judgment about these things. I merely emit sounds from my mouth. Sorry, mouth.
Right. Right, exactly. Okay. Anyway, so that happened. All right. In the meantime, kids, guess who it's time for?
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuy. Tina Dupuy is brilliant. She's funny. She's a terrific writer.
Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
Oh, God. Good morning, Tina Dupuy.
Good morning, Stephanie Miller.
That is a filthy little jingle we have there.
Indeed.
So, great piece on the Southern Fried Christian Sharia. I mean, you know, everybody obviously has been talking about the Zimmerman trial, but wow, let's forget racism for a minute. There's a lot of good old-fashioned sexism going on state by state, isn't there?
There is. Well, you know, I mean, there's a lot of paranoia about Sharia law, of course, because that would subjugate women. They've used that as an excuse to wait for it. Subjugate women.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you. Wait for it, everybody. Yes, you say, and you specifically were talking about North Carolina, among others, but you say they described described as an anti-Sharia law bill. You say this religion they fear would dictate our rights and punish dissent. It would blur the lines between church and state. Women would be subjugated. Then with absolutely zero appreciation for irony, the state senate amended the bill to quickly and somewhat secretly restrict access to legal and constitutionally protected abortion. Why? They're religious convictions. And you say, nice tactics, scare people with the specter of Islamic totalitarianism and then pass a bill that would make Pakistan pause. I see what you did there. Nicely written. I mean, it really is just with no sense of irony, right?
Absolutely. But also, you know, I think that we just haven't been paying attention because we really have thought that these Republican lawmakers at the state level are going to focus on things like jobs, like infrastructure, like the things that lawmakers are supposed to be doing. And instead, they've been singly focused on making sure that that women have less access to women's healthcare clinics. And may I remind everyone out there that if you have a vagina, just saying, these healthcare clinics are not there just so you can kill your baby, their words.
They're not just there for abortions. That is actually not true. If you get a UTI and you are a person who does not have health insurance, this is where you go to get treatment for that. This is not something you can just go to the drugstore for. Like, they actually make this, it's our reproductive organs, Stephanie, very costly as far as upkeep.
That's true. They are an indulgence I may not be able to afford much longer in this economy.
That is so true. And which is why, it was a, for Obamacare, it was a pre-existing condition to have the reproductive ability.
Yeah.
So the healthcare clinics, a lot of women depend on Planned Parenthood for their primary healthcare, for screenings and to make sure that, you know, if anything goes awry, they are able to be taken care of and at least seen without going to an ER.
Yeah.
And for affordable prices, it's subsidized healthcare, and you're able to actually get seen. I know before I had healthcare, which is a pretty recent thing in my life, I was going to Planned Parenthood for all my healthcare needs.
Yeah. Well,
I think
my
that's
favorite,
a very cool story.
My favorite line in your piece is, religion is the sand you throw in someone's face before you rob them. But it's, in this case, it's true. You say disorienting.
What would Jesus do? Give me money.
Yeah.
That's
well,
you
say
you
Christianity has been used to justify everything from the Crusades, sectarian wars, and inquisitions to witch burnings, cross burnings, and Christian rock. That is probably the most egregious crime against music, in my opinion.
I'm not fighting you on that one.
Right, right. But the point is, theology makes for horrible government, and you talk about how this has been proved sort of the world over, right?
Well, that's true. I mean, a buried story, and it's hard to even find it in the international news, is that they're having riots, and there's been 32 cops that have been injured in Ireland because they're having sectarian violence, and the Protestants are mad at the Catholics, and they're throwing Molotov cocktails. That's this week, the third day of this happening. This happens all the time, and we kind of go like, okay, well, if everyone just prayed the same way to the same God, everything would be peaceful. And that's just not historically accurate. Mm-hmm.
Right. And you say religion is subjective, selective, and discriminated. It's the opposite of democracy, no matter if it's Christianity, Islam, or gluten-freeism. And those people are the most militant, let me just say.
Can we just talk about them for a second?
Yeah.
Like, come on, people, really?
Come on, really?
Have some balance. Have some bread.
Have some bread and hush. Yeah, but
it's
I mean,
the body of Christ.
Yeah, but it's interesting. You talk about everything. You tie it into everything from what's happening in Egypt to even George Zimmerman. You said when asked about if he regretted killing the teenager, he said it was God's plan and he wasn't going to second-guess him. You're right. Religion is used to justify just about everything, isn't it?
That was really shocking to me. And really, what was shocking to me in that Hannity interview with George Zimmerman was that he actually had to get egged on by Sean Hannity to show a little contrition. This is a true story. Like, if you watch it again, it's about a half an hour interview, and he really, like, Sean Hannity's like, come on, you show a little bad, right? Come on. And towards the end, Zimmerman's like, I'm sorry that I was put in a position where I had to kill him, and I was like, oh, wow, that sounds like a cop. He's talking directly to Hannity's audience and goes, it's God's will.
We had to burn the village in order to save it.
Yeah, I mean, you draw it to even what happens in Texas with, Governor Oops, as you call him, and what he's doing. And this is a great point. You say in Texas they want to deregulate everything except the womb. Yeah, fertilizer plants, fine, do whatever you want, right? But it's locked down in everybody's womb.
Texas is open for business unless your business happens to be,
right.
Your business.
Right. Your lady bits business.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Indeed. What, larger point, Tina, where do you think this is coming from? I mean, literally, I'm like going, what is going on? I mean, I was looking, transvaginal Bob in Virginia, of course, was one of the first ones, right, with a transvaginal probe. Mm-hmm. I mean, but now it's like spreading across the country, these really egregious laws.
I think it's happening in the vacuum of economic distress. I mean, I think that throughout history, and you can see this, anytime there's social upheaval or economic downtimes, you kind of have, like,
religious extremism is able to take root. It happened during the Depression. It happened during the 60s because of the upheaval. It happened during the fall of Rome. It happened during the Civil War. You kind of like have these movements that get a resurgence. They get oxygen when we're having any kind of turmoil in our country. And right now things are, you know, I mean, look at the news. We're having some turmoil, and we're also having a lot of people who are not doing well economically. They're angry, and they don't know who to blame. And instead of the white criminals on Wall Street, we suddenly want to just, you know, have hunting season on black kids, black teenagers with Skittles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, by the way, somebody said the other day, if transvaginal Bob has to resign, women should be able to do a full body cavity search to see if there's any other bling that he's taking off with.
Oh, taxpayer
money. Fair. I think so. It's only fair. Just saying.
It's the government, you know. I mean.
Yeah, right. Exactly. All right, Tina Dupuy, of the editor-in-chief of contributor.com. Great stuff as always, honey. Thanks for coming
on. You're the best.
You. Okay, love you, bye. All right, let's go to Yvonne in Sacramento real quick. Hey, Yvonne, welcome.
Hello. Hi, how are you?
Hi.
Glad to talk to you. Listen, I just wanted to mention something. I'm one of those folks who, of course, is infuriated by this whole Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin issue. And I'm from California, and I see people that are protesting. We even had a few riots, but I'm also one of those folks that go on vacation, and I just canceled my trip to Florida. My kids were really excited about Disney World, but they're not going because I'm not spending one dime.
We have Disneyland out here.
Yeah, come to Disneyland out here.
Come to Disneyland.
They actually have some better rides.
Yeah, exactly. Disney World. Okay, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller. Right,
me, Diamonds and Frills. 21 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Tim and Eureka, they sent me a... Because we were just talking to Tina Dupuy about the anti-abortion stuff going on in Texas. How to smuggle tampons into the Texas state capitol. And it's you put them in a gun. You put them little gun cylinders. Because you can have a gun. But no tampons, no, because they might be used as projectiles against lawmakers.
Stop using tampons as a weapon.
Right, exactly.
Guns don't kill people.
What do you
tampons
know?
Kill people.
Only women bleed. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Oh, and then there's another weird cartoon that says, I ran out of tampons, so I'm using a peep. Oh, that's... Poor women in Texas. If you have to sit there all day and you can't have a tampon, you might have to use a peep. It's awful.
That doesn't sound sanitary.
No. No, there's only douches allowed. No tampons. Get it? Because those are the lawmakers themselves.
Hey. Waka, waka, waka.
I did there. Okay. Marianne in Wisconsin on the Zimmerman trial. Hello, Marianne.
Hello. I just had a comment about juror BS. when she was asked, you know, why do you think George Zimmerman found Trayvon Martin suspicious? And she goes into... to think the situation where Trayvon got him into being late at night. Well, I don't consider 7 o'clock late at night. You know, that's just ridiculous. And then the other thing is about the Sanford Police Department. And, you know, why they didn't take pictures of the sidewalk, the blood on the sidewalk. How come they couldn't identify Trayvon when they had a cell phone, you know, to leave him there unidentified overnight?
Yeah.
And then, you know, not testing Mr. Zimmerman's blood, because he was actually on prescription drugs, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
And, you know, aggressiveness is one of the symptoms or the side effects. So, and the other thing, I agreed with the woman who canceled her Florida vacation. My husband and I only vacation in blue states, and Florida's kind of limited our vacation now, because that's another one we have to cross off the list.
Yeah, well.
And was George's wife still charged with perjury, so maybe she can go to jail? in his place.
Yeah, I mean, that was he even lied about the money in his PayPal account or whatever. I mean, we'll see what happens if there's a civil trial, but there sure was an awful lot of lies and inconsistencies. Let's go to Howard in Hollywood, Florida. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Steph. Just off the subject, based on what your last guest said, I suggest that any woman appearing in front of the legislature ask that legislator if he's circumcised or not and see if he answers.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Just, you know, we're just asking.
Now, Zimmerman lied to his own defense attorney, who took that rubber doll and banged it on the ground. It's impossible to do that physically. If you grab someone's arms from the elbow to the shoulder or armpit, that person only has to move their arms to break that grip.
Right.
Right.
You can demonstrate that yourselves.
Right. You share our empathy for the foam dummy in the Zimmerman trial.
Yes, absolutely.
That thing took a beating.
If you try to bang someone's head against the ground, that would free that person on the ground's hands, and they could beat the dickens out of whoever was on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, if you were getting your head banged on the ground, you would put your chin against your chest, and you could never have your head banged on the ground. I think the prosecutor did a terrible job there.
Yeah.
Plus, you would also turn your head if you were getting hit, so Zimmerman's ears would have had to have been pounded to death, because who would face someone who's swinging punches at them directly?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Yeah,
none
of it does.
And if he had had his head pounded on concrete, he would have had a fractured skull and brain swelling, and that was not the case.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Let's go to Katie in Hudson, Massachusetts. Hi, Katie. Welcome.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Listen, the Zimmerman thing is driving me nuts. The irony that if he had actually stayed in his car and ran over Trayvon, he would have been investigated. I mean, whenever there's someone died on the side of a road, they have to do reconstruction, they have to do measurements and pictures and all this investigation.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he was barely detained. And there was a young man dead on the
Well, street. that's our gun culture, Katie. That's exactly the point. It's this ridiculous gun worship that you're right. If you use a gun, you're, I guess, automatically a hero in you know, a lot of the circles that were defending him.
Mm-hmm.
Richard in Florida says he's not a racist, but... Hi, Richard.
Hi. The thing about the whole situation is you folks can't see the trees for the forest, and the reason being is that...
It's forest for the trees.
We have situations that have just come about.
It's different in the Everglades.
That has gathered hardly any national publicity. And as an example, we had a 13-month-old baby that was being strolled by her mother. This is a white baby, white mother. A teenager came up and shot this baby in the stroller between the eyes. And you mean to tell me that that doesn't deserve national attention?
Where was this?
This was in Brunswick, Georgia. Uh-huh. Brunswick, Georgia. The woman was merely out strolling her little baby.
Okay,
and
so what?
Black teenager came up and shot.
Oh, a black
baby
teenager did.
The
okay.
Eyes.
Okay.
So Trayvon Martin deserved that.
Why don't we hear that publicity about that? Where you have it? I mean, this.
What did that have to do with
no
the Trayvon Martin case?
In this case.
What's that?
There was no rhyme or reason for
right,
this.
Right, but so a black person committed a crime somewhere, that means automatically Trayvon Martin was deserved to be
I'm
shot?
No, is at least Zimmerman showed physical conditions of being assaulted. This baby was
That
just
doesn't mean he's justified.
Taking a nap. Taking a nap.
This has absolutely nothing to do with the Trayvon Martin case.
So every murder in the country has to be on the news 24/7? Is that?
And not only that, but you know as well as I do, most of the crime as far as blacks are concerned is black on black. Black on black.
How about just calling it crime?
So
I'd call that a crime.
How about just calling it crime instead of black on black crime?
Well, most of the blacks that are getting killed are being killed by their own.
Okay.
Regardless.
What does this have to do with the Trayvon Martin case?
They've taken this case and they have blown the hell out of it. And by the way,
Well, that's because George Zimmerman blew the hell out of Trayvon Martin.
Angela Corey will do anything to get publicity. We have it. Listen to this. I'll tell you another case.
Really? And George Zimmerman won't.
Right here in this district, we had a sexual predator. Predator.
Richard, I understand that other crime happens in other parts of the country.
This particular one was in Angela Corey's district.
I see.
and she let this guy out. He kills a little 8-year-old, and she spends all her attention on this Trayvon case because it was national publicity, and she let this sexual predator out of jail.
All right, I'm not saying she's never made mistakes. Again, what does that have to do with this particular case? Because this
other stuff happened.
One crime happened
so we should
some
ignore
other
this.
Place. Right, exactly. Exactly. Wow. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
The glittering diamond of super evil.
Yep. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, Sue in Rockville?
Yeah.
Says, oi, the line's too busy to get through today, and I was busy having birthday sex with Kevin in D.C. In the interest of Zimmerman verdict, interracial healing.
It's her birthday.
It is her birthday. Oh, she needs you to say happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh,
she wanted it.
Asiana Airlines is going to sue us, too, now.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot, Jim. Thanks. Okay.
What? You told me she wanted to hear it as Kim Jong-il.
All right. Happy birthday, Sue.
Happy birthday to
you. Oh, God.
Happy birthday, Sue Norakavir.
Holy fook. What?
Happy Careful now. Okay, our friend Michael Tomosky, who I want to date and kiss Mary. I love his article. This is just too much, all this babyish caterwauling from Mitch McConnell. This is about executive branch appointees. That's the only kind of vote Harry Reid and company would seek to permit passage on a simple majority basis. A president has the right to appoint the people he wants, period. And yes, I would say this if and when Ted Cruz or Rand Paul is president. Yeah. It is a ridiculous situation. Harry Reid on this.
We have a responsibility to give advice and consent to the president on his nominations. But all we have from the Republicans is not advice and consent. We have obstruct and delay.
Yeah. Michael Tomosky points out, as Harry Reid did on Meet the Press on Sunday, it is not legislation, it is not judges. This is not at all what has been proposed in the past, Harry Reid.
The first time in the history of the country, they filibustered the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he did the numbers. I can't remember what they are. He's had 400.
Who's a Republican?
I mean,
yeah.
You know, in the whole history of the country, there's been some teeny amount. He's had 400 and something. You know, filibusters on his, while he's been majority, he was saying that, you know, he's been about the same time Lyndon Johnson
right.
was. Lyndon Johnson, I don't even know, handful of filibusters. He's had 400 and something blob, or I think he said 20 or something in the whole history of the country. Obama's had 16 already in terms of, nominees. Mitch McLipless.
The president has had 1,540 of his nominations confirmed, only four defeated. He's not lost a single member of the cabinet. He's getting them faster than President Bush was at the same time in his second term.
My God, it is amazing how you can spin numbers. Anybody knows what is happening.
He's had a million people get through. I say a billion, no trillion.
And then he was talking on Meet the Press about how he's, you know, about, you know, illegal immigration and blah, blah. Easy for him to say because a lot of his, you know, relatives were able to slip under the fence on their little turtle feet. So
slowly.
Right.
They did it slowly.
Right.
But they were able to slip in.
Right.
Yeah.
Slow and steady wins the race.
Senator Jeff Flake, Republican of Arizona.
Once a simple majority has been used to impose cloture for executive branch nominees, why can't it be used for judicial nominees that have a lifetime tenure? Why not use it for everyday legislation?
Slippery slope argument. Okay.
Slippery.
Robert Reich, our friend with the fun facts. Before January 2009, the filibuster was used only for measures and nominations on which the minority party in the Senate had their strongest objections. Since then, Senate Republicans have filibustered almost everything betting that voters will blame Democrats for the dysfunction in Congress as much as they do the GOP. So far, the bet is paying off now because the press has failed to call out the GOP, which is now preventing votes on the president's choices for D.C. Circuit Court nominees, the Labor Department, EPA, Consumer Finance Protection Bureau, National Labor Relations Board. And as someone has said, they don't want those governing bodies.
Right.
They don't care. They're trying to, I mean, yeah. GOP has already violated hundreds of years of Senate precedent by filibustering Chuck Hagel, as Harry Reid just pointed out, and using the filibuster to delay John Brennan's nomination to CIA director. Harry Reid may now be able to summon 51 votes to abolish the filibuster, at least for cabinet officials, but that shouldn't be considered a victory. It's a sad commentary on where we've come to. Hmm. And the meeting yesterday, I guess, you know, geez, shockingly, produced no agreement. So I'm hoping we're going nuclear, at least on the president's appointees.
Maybe that's what's causing the big heat dome in the Northeast.
Maybe that's what it is.
The nuclear bomb that Harry Reid is about ready to detonate.
Yes. Okay. Let's go to Gerald in California. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Gerald.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to, my comment was one that I think the shooting was justified, but the previous caller.
I'm sorry, what now? Why was the shooting justified?
Well, I'll state that in one moment.
Oh.
But the previous caller was trying to show that there's a double standard of to where you can have a white child killed by a black person with zero media attention.
Really?
Yet you can have a, what's now a new term, white Hispanic, kill a black man, and it's all over the news. That's all he was pointing to, that there is a double standard. So going to the
Are you kidding me? If you don't think there would have
double, that isn't the purpose of my call. Please let me.
Oh, okay.
My call.
All right. Well, then, sure. You just go right ahead.
Thank
you. Okay.
If you look at what the two people involved in this were doing, George Zimmerman was on the phone talking to the police, saying there's a suspicious person in our neighborhood.
Suspicious.
Trying
because
to
he's
get
black.
The police to come to the job. You had the other person on the phone with his girlfriend, giving racial slangs, saying there's somebody following. If he was concerned, why didn't he hang up the phone and call 911? Why didn't he go to somebody's house?
So it's his
fault. George Zimmerman called 911, and they told him, stay in your car.
And he didn't.
You didn't answer the question. Why didn't the other gentleman hang up the phone?
Permission to treat the caller as hostile?
Call 911. He didn't do it because he wanted to start a fight.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah.
Where are they getting
he
this crap?
He got what he deserved. 2 days before
he
this.
He got what he deserved.
Yeah.
Because he didn't hang
up. Beat up a bus driver because he wouldn't get a free ride.
What?
He picked the wrong person to fight.
Who
is
this? What?
You're pulling stuff out of your ass now. All right. Oh, God. The headache in both eyes has returned. Has returned today. All right.
Do you need a Motrin? Maybe a Pamprin?
I am bloating as we speak. We are bloated with idiot callers.
Yes.
Except for Deborah in Georgia. Hello, Deborah.
Hello.
Hello, Deb.
I just heard that, man, and the case about the baby was all over the news. But anyway, I wasn't surprised about the verdict. What I was surprised about is the area where I live, immediately after the verdict was announced, they set off a fireworks celebration.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was just so disgusting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yay. Unarmed, innocent black teenagers dead. Hooray. By the way, I just needed some things to cheer me up now.
Okay.
So no matter how bad you're feeling about, you know, racism
good
in America.
Good thing she hung up the phone. Otherwise, George Zimmerman might have shot her. That's right. Justification.
Right. Yeah.
For not hanging up the phone.
Is this fun stack?
Well, it's just you're having a better day than somebody.
Okay.
Snake hiding in toilet.
Oh, God.
Israeli man's
nightmare.
Penis. Pardon me. You can do America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps if you can find a story.
You wouldn't let me do it if I found one.
Ahead.
Sure,
would.
Go find one real quick.
There could be a woman climbing up a chain link fence somewhere.
Not chain link fence.
Right.
I'm at the metal
picket
fence.
Spikes.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
A 35-year-old Israeli man was rushed to the hospital Friday after a snake suddenly emerged from the toilet he was sitting on and bit the man's.
How did the snake get in there?
A paramedic said, this is the first time I've seen a snake bite like this, according to Your Jewish News. Oy.
Oi.
Oi, do I have a story
this
for you?
Such a shunda.
Oi, such a shunda, you're not going to believe this, Michigas.
For once, I miss having a foreskin.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Well, that's right. More to chew through before you get to the...
to the meaty part.
Right.
Yeah.
The paramedic also said the man was in good enough spirits to joke about the incident. Yeah. The snake bit me in the... but here's a good one.
I think it was a small snake.
Was it a small snake?
The hospital, I don't know. The hospital said there will undoubtedly be bite marks on the area in question.
Could be voice.
Dear. Oh, dear.
Could be voice.
Well, that'll be a cautionary tale for whoever he's with. See, too much teeth. You know what I'm saying?
So from now on, he'll be kicking the toilet to make sure there's no snakes in there before he gets in.
Too much teeth.
Hello, any snakes in there?
And also, you are not a Brazilian man.
Flushed several times before you...
You are also not a Brazilian man that was killed in his bed by a falling cow.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
It's apparently a thing in Brazil. A Brazilian man was killed earlier this month when a cow crashed through his roof of his home, crushing him. It was the third recent incident of cows crashing through roofs in the area.
Apparently they have flying cows in Brazil.
The houses must be at the bottom of a hill, and the cows fall down the hill.
The cow walked from an adjacent hill onto the roof of his home. As cows, I guess, in Brazil are wont to do.
That's a thing in Brazil.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so we still live in a racist America,
people need to cow-proof their houses in Brazil.
Right. Okay. Lawrence in New Orleans, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Lawrence.
Hi, Mama. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Okay. Maybe I wouldn't be as angry and as ticked off as I am about this whole verdict thing if Zimmerman would have just said, I made a grave mistake in judgment, and I am very, very sorry.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, instead of going to Sean Hannity and saying how it's God's plan and, you know, you wouldn't do anything differently.
He never said he was sorry, and that's what's angering about it, because he killed a child, and he was like, whatever. Not my fault.
Right.
Where that came from.
Yeah. I mean, you know, how do you get a defense attorney that stands and says Trayvon Martin caused his own death? He's on the floor of the... It's unbelievable.
Right.
It really is. Okay, 45 minutes after the hour, right back. The remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller Show. So what? Oh, looky here. It's one of those touching stories about having kids. Pink says she never wanted to have kids.
Uh-oh.
She used to be terrified at the thought of starting a family, but now that she has a two-year-old, Willow, she said her life has never been better. I'm just saying. In my opinion, many children are terrorists. I'm just saying.
John Fuglesang agrees with you, and had a child.
I know.
His wife did.
I know. Can I give you a recent patriotic example?
Sure.
It's this past 4th of July. I'm going to a 4th of July party with Jackie Schechner.
Right.
Hot Bree, our good friend, Melissa Fitzgerald, a few of us.
Yeah.
We walked into a house with and there was a small terrorist child. And we all had, pinwheels, 4th of July pinwheels, because we thought that'd be fun. We got them on the way. We were like, you know, they were...
Right.
And the child shrieked at the top of her lungs, and we all just immediately handed her our pinwheels. And it was like an immediate, terrorist hostage situation, and we knew immediately that we just had to surrender our...
Surrender Dorothy.
She just screamed at the top of her lungs. Right. And we all just immediately handed her our things.
Very
and
effective
she stopped,
technique.
Right. She stopped screaming immediately.
Hey, they know how to get what they want.
I'm going to scream again.
Tiny.
Give me everything I want now or else.
They know how to work it.
My friend was telling me another story. She was at the park with her kid and there was an ice cream truck and the kid started shrieking. I want ice cream now. I want it now. Now.
And adults give in, and that's
right.
Why kids get what they
right.
want.
And she said, the mom said, listen, you know how this works. Dinner first, then dessert. It's the same way the world over. Those are the rules.
Wow.
But I'm guessing at some point she gave in to the tiny terrorist.
Absolutely.
What kind of adult is she going to be?
I want everything now!
I know a few like that.
I'm telling you, every friend I have that's a parent is always like a hostage situation when I'm on the phone. It's just, no, Blue, no. What did I say? All right, here, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like Blue!
Kids are awful.
By the way, parenting specialist Jenny McCarthy has been named the new co-host of The View and immediately caused a huge amount of controversy. Because, she's a Playboy playmate and also a anti-vaccine crusader.
Yeah.
a lot of tweets about it. Sickened that The View is giving an anti-vaccination zealot Jenny McCarthy a bigger platform, said one. The Guardian tweeted, ABC and The View should be ashamed of themselves. Jenny McCarthy deserves to be on some history conspiracy show, not network television. Mo Rocha, our friend, tweeted, The View, I, for one, am immune to her charms. Okay, he stepped on his punchline. He said, I'm immune to her charms.
I'm not a fan. Yeah. I'm
immune.
Not a fan of her.
See,
and what's controversial?
Yeah.
Well, there was some thought that the elements they used to...
had mercury in it or something.
But it didn't pan out.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of, doctors and stuff think that's very dangerous because a lot of...
I mean, some people will have bad reactions to vaccination. Just, some certain percentage of the population is going to have a bad reaction. But the benefits outweigh the risks.
Kevin Bacon bribes DJs not to play Footloose at weddings.
Wouldn't you?
He especially doesn't like it when it's played at weddings.
Dance, boy!
Right.
So come on!
Just chucky, hand him $20, say, please don't play that song. Right, because people expect him to...
I'm 60 years old. And all he has to say is, please don't play that song, and they know what song he's talking about.
Exactly.
May
I'm
come!
A, I am a 1,000 years old now. I cannot dance like that anymore.
Most of that was a dance double anyway.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, see, that's even more embarrassing.
When he's
at
going through the flower factory, just yanking on everything, swinging, that was all not him.
Oh, that is another dream of mine that's died.
You could have asked him when you were walking your dogs.
Did you hear this story? A couple driving to Dave Matthews' show spots a hitchhiker who turns out to be?
Dave Matthews.
Right.
That was really cool.
Wow.
He got a flat on his bike and he didn't have a cell phone.
Yeah.
They were on their way to see Dave Matthews perform and were running late.
He rides a bike to his concerts because he's eco-friendly.
Right.
Huh.
She said that she and her boyfriend were far too starstruck to have any meaningful conversation with Matthews along the way.
Derp.
He offered them dinner backstage and then front row seats to the concert.
Wow.
And they got some really cool pictures taken with him inside their car.
That never happens to me. Speaking of...
You don't go to concerts, really.
I don't
really.
Go out. Wow. And see, I thought I was the only one that gets things wrong. No. Most misheard song lyrics have been... they've done a survey. Elton John's Tiny Dancer. No, It's Not Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza. A lot of people thought that.
Yeah.
They have conducted a poll to identify the most misquoted song lyrics of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Coming at
Excuse
number one...
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
That's in there.
Coming in at number one on the list, Blinded by the Light. I thought I was the only one.
Wrapped up like a douche.
When you're rolling in the night. The actual end is Blinded by the Light, revved up like a deuce, another runner in the night.
Mm-hmm.
Idiots.
But what they sing sounds nothing like that.
Right.
Not in the Springsteen version.
Nobody knows the Springsteen version.
Oh, excuse me while I kiss this guy.
That's right.
While I kiss this guy, Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze. Okay. Rock the Cat Box.
Never heard anybody say Rock the Cat Box.
Rock the Cat Box.
Although, when I was a kid, I thought Our Lips Are Sealed was Alex the Seal.
Mm.
You're a moron.
There's
a Bad
a
Moon on
kid.
The Rise. CCR is, there's a bathroom on the right.
Bathroom on the right, I know someone's mom thought that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's see. I Blow Bubbles When You're Not Here. Oh, no. Huh? My World Crumbles When You're Not Near Macy Gray. Well, who can tell what the hell Macy Gray is saying?
I hope that wasn't a Michael Jackson song.
No one can understand what Macy Gray is
saying. Mumbles her way through.
The Blowing Bubbles thing wasn't a Michael Jackson song, I hope.
Never mind. Okay.
Oh, God.
Too soon?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? Sharknado did not get good ratings, much to my chagrin.
Oh,
it was one of those then there Twitter storms that turned out to be
kind of like Snakes on a Plane was kind of a bomb. Of
just reminding you, Twitter, not the same as real life, everybody. The gap between the frenzy Sharknado caused.
Just wait for a frogicane.
Right. I'm going to take credit. I think we started the Twitter frenzy because we're on first in the morning.
We are.
And everybody steals stuff from us.
Yep. Everybody.
Right. Sci-fi's latest B-movie spectacle in which a tornado approaching L.A. picks up and hurls Great Whites at Angelinos, leaving Dodger Stadium in the fifth inning. It could happen.
Sure. Because Dodger Stadium's so close to the ocean.
But everybody leaves Dodger Stadium in the fifth inning. It's very true.
Say, do we stay that long?
And there's the opening pitch. Let's go.
All right, let's go. Let's go before the Sharks get here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was clocking 5,000 tweets per minute about the film. Yeah.
Like, and then, really prominent people were tweeting about it. Chuck Todd tweeted about it.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And so it apparently did no better than their normal fare. Oh, and by the way, they also made another analogy. Not the first time social media has misled executives into thinking they have a hit on their hands. Snakes on a plane.
Yeah.
Right, was the other box office bomb.
How think. About snakes on a boat? No?
No.
Okay.
I don't know.
Snake NATO.
Lizards on a helicopter.
All right. Let's do one quick one before we go. Dan in Florida, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dan. Welcome.
Hi. As a small business owner, I'd like to ask all these people that want to boycott Florida not to. Basically, when they do that, they're hurting small businesses.
Right.
Although we may have a, may I say, moron of a governor, we did support Obama in both elections. So this is not such a red state.
That's true.
All right. Well, mm-hmm. Point well taken.
Especially in
Disneyland is better than Disney World, though.
Yeah, just saying. Haha, neener. Nanny boo-boo. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.